Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis, coming to you from Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, planes dropping bombs, drones firing missiles, and tanks firing shells, all part of more Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip. On Friday and Saturday, at least 16 Palestinians have been killed and many others wounded on one of the most densely populated places in the world. Another sign of a regime out of control and thinking it doesn't have to answer to anyone as the international community continues to turn the other way.
It was the most violent assault on the Gaza Strip in months. Israeli warplanes and tanks launched a series of strikes on the besieged territory on Friday. One of the explosions tore apart this vehicle, killing Secretary General of the Popular Resistance Committees, Zuhair al-Ghaisi, who was driving inside. His son-in-law also died in the blast. Further airstrikes were launched after darkness fell, killing and wounding more Gazans. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have condemned the Israeli aggression and held Tel Aviv responsible for the consequences of its action.
Hamas strongly condemns this barbaric attack. We consider this a dangerous escalation in the Palestinian side, and the Zionist occupation is responsible for this escalation and its implications in the Palestinian side.
Ghaisi's death also brought a swift promise of retaliation from Palestinian resistance forces.
The Zionist enemy has struck in the Gaza Strip. The attack caused the death of a prominent Palestinian leader. With this crime, they opened the door to us avenging our leader.
We say to the Zionist enemy assassinating our leaders, you will not destroy the resistance men. You will see us in the field.
Hours later, dozens of rockets were fired into Israel, injuring several Israelis. While there is nothing new about Israel's use of power against Palestinians, this was the worst attack against the impoverished enclave since October. The assault has raised fears of a further escalation of tensions in a region already pushed to the brink.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from Gaza, Irish human rights activist, Mr. Derek Graham. Palestinian activist.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Welcome. Palestinian activist and journalist, Mr. Bashar Zidan in London.
Hello.
Hi. And Crescent and Cross Solidarity Movement, Mr. Mark Glenn from Idaho. Welcome to you and all of you for being with us. Well, I'd like to start this off, actually, in Gaza itself. Now, more people are being killed and injured, and more of the same response from the international community, which we saw during the onslaught on Gaza in 2009, which led to the killing of almost 1,500 Palestinians and injuring thousands of others. Why wouldn't the Israelis attack and kill when their Western supporters, along with the UN, basically do nothing to stop them?
Well, you have the world media sit idly by day after day and they don't report on the situation. You have the global governments, they also sit idly by and refuse to condemn the actions of the Israelis. And they also refuse to punish the Israelis for these actions. They are a complete violation of human rights, the Geneva Convention and many other UN resolutions. But nobody will try and stop them. It is a ridiculous situation.
Okay, so what would be the incentive then? Why would Israel even think about stopping? Well, let me turn to London. In general, I will readdress that same question as then what is there to stop them from basically doing whatever they want? And why at this time are we seeing an escalation in the attacks? Mr. Zidan.
Well, I believe the Israeli government are mainly testing waters. They are going with an airstrike on Gaza, and they want to see the reaction, mainly from the Arabs and from Egypt specifically. They do not have a green card like the days of Mubarak, and they want to see how far can they go. And it's a war government. They cannot succeed without having to attack the Palestinians every now and then, so they can unite the Israeli public. The Israelis are always united when there's an aggression and Palestinian blood, and Whenever they have internal problems, they transfer it to external. And I believe they're sending messages to the region that even after going to Washington and speaking to Obama and seeing that they do not get 100% support from the Americans on alleged attacks on Iran, they want to show everyone that they are continuing with their policies and that there is nothing to stop them. And sadly, the international society cannot do anything about it.
What about that, Mr. Glenn? Turning to Mark Glenn now in Idaho, there are some observers who say that as long as the resistance continue to rely on certain countries, such as Qatar and others, that basically don't believe in resistance themselves, as long as they continue to do this, that they really will not get anywhere. What do you think is the best way forward right now for the Palestinians in order to get their rights?
Well, honestly, and I hate to paint such a bleak picture, but I don't know that there is any way forward. No matter what the Palestinians do, the Israelis are going to engage in this kind of behavior, irrespective of any reactions on the part of the Palestinians or any provocations on the part of the Palestinians. The Israelis, as our previous guest mentioned here very accurately, they have a very fractured society, and always squabbling. The only way they can hold together this very fractured society is to unite everybody around some type of military action such as just took place. And so you will see Israel, as she has done throughout her existence, she will engage in these kinds of operations, initiating violence against innocent people in order to hold together what I said before was an organically fractured society. So as far as the Palestinians go, you know, they really are trapped in a nature preserve, so to speak, where mm-hmm. you have hunters who come in and the animals are trapped. There's a fence that is 10 feet high that they can't get out of. And so as far as the Palestinians go, and again, I hate to paint such a bleak picture here, but in this case, there is nothing that the Palestinians can do mm-hmm. other than to just continue to endure this. She can try to create alliances with other powerful countries, such as Iran. But as far as the Arab world goes, absent, of course, Syria and certain pro-Palestinian elements in Lebanon, as far as the Arab world goes, the history has proven very accurately that the Palestinians cannot count on her Arab cousins to support her. They will always do what is necessary to stay in Israel's good graces, in order to stay in the United States' good graces. And so, you know, the short answer to your question is, at this point, the only thing that the Palestinians can do is to endure what they are enduring at present.
Okay, well, Mr. Graham, you know, first we saw the crippling siege in Gaza, then we saw the war, and then there was the Israeli attack on the Gaza flotilla killing activists, and of course all the while that the Israelis continue to choke the Gaza Strip of supplies and basic necessities. Where are the no-fly zones? Where are the declarations by the UN or U.S. that innocent people need to be protected? And sending in their troops, what will it take for us to see this type of international reaction when it comes to Israel?
Well, I think if the Palestinians get statehood, I think that will make their case a little bit stronger. I would agree with your second analyst there when he says that Israel are waiting to see the reaction from Egypt, but not only Egypt, I think Tunisia, Algeria, Libya, I think they want to test the waters with these countries as well. But as how the Palestinians can move forward, it's very hard. They are in a very difficult position. The Palestinians in Gaza particularly are struggling because at the moment we have lack of fuel, we have lack of basic needs, and the international community have done nothing about it. The fuel crisis has been going on for nearly 2 weeks in Gaza, and the international community hasn't said anything about it. And it's ridiculous the way the situation is here. People are suffering, mm-hmm. and the world just stands by idly. I think, unless we'd say the media start to focus on Gaza and on the Palestinians, I don't think the wider community will realize what's happening. So I think it's up to the media to start focusing on Gaza.
Well, let's look at the media. You said, Mr. Graham, that now it's up to the media. But, Mr. Zeidan, how likely are we to see, if we're talking about the mainstream media, basically what we have been witnessing more and more, that these so-called independent media basically is just repeating whatever line that their governments are following. So how likely are we to see the mainstream media taking a different line and showing the reality of what is on the ground in Gaza?
Well, I wouldn't rely much on them because most of the effective media tools are highly controlled by the American Israeli stream and whoever is agreeing with their policies. But I believe the only way for the Palestinians to attract the attention of the international community is to take the matter to their hands. Israel is taking advantage of the split between two governments. One of them is negotiating as a profession and the other is joining the condemnation club. So as long as the Palestinians cannot come together with an one international opinion and try to press the international community to do anything, the media would not help much. The media would sympathize but would not put any more ethical burden on Israel, assuming they have any, because they have been attacking Gaza since years. And I don't think the mainstream media would try even to expose the acts of the Israelis in the Gaza Strip.
Okay. Well, what about that, Mark Lynn, that our guest in London is saying that as long as the Palestinians do not speak with a united voice, we can expect to continue seeing this. What are the main problems or obstacles in the Palestinians speaking with that united voice?
Well, Israel's existence is totally dependent upon keeping the people around her divided and squabbling. This is how she has operated in the region for the last century. And so she applies these same tactics, particularly with the Palestinians, in that you have two Palestines. You have Gaza, and of course you have the West Bank. You have two governments, each with different approaches as to how this problem is to be solved. And so, again, you know, it's very difficult for the Palestinians. I mean, they are in a position where no matter which way they move, Israel will somehow be able to use this to her advantage in the realm of propaganda. I think what really is the solution to this is networks such as this one, Press TV, and, of course, Russia Today, and certain other media outlets that are coming to the forefront now with the assistance of their governments, because these governments understand that Israel and America and the West have become a serious problem to the continued existence of the planet. You have two mad dogs here in the case of Israel and, of course, in the case of the United States, and they are out making serial wars all over the world. And so you have governments now, such as the government of Iran, such as elements within the Russian government, who are understanding that this is not just a small problem anymore. This is something that literally could engulf the whole planet. And so I think, practically speaking, what we have to see and what we are seeing, by the way, is this continued building of coalitions against war, against injustice. Not necessarily that these particular countries, have a soft spot in their heart for the Palestinians, but rather because they understand that if they do not form these coalitions against this monster, that they are going to find themselves embroiled in the same kind of oppression and barbaric warfare being waged against their own citizens. So I think, practically speaking, you know, of course, it's very easy for me to say this because I'm not sitting in Gaza burying my loved ones, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, things are turning. There is a new season that has begun with regards to Israel and her barbaric behavior. You can see this with the case of the government of Iran. You can see it in the case of Russia having impeded yet another invasion of an Arab country by NATO, and we're talking about Syria. So in that sense, as long as we can keep this momentum going, I think that eventually we will be able to get this mad dog, get a rope around its neck, and have it put back into its cage where it belongs.
Okay, well, Mr. Graham, let me turn to you. You are sitting in Gaza. Do you see that the Palestinians have any other choice at this point in time but resistance when a regime responds to them in the way that it does?
No, I don't think they actually have any other response left to them at this stage. They have called on the international community to aid them. They have called on everybody for aid, and nobody has helped them. So I think, yes, this is the only response that they have. Everything was quiet here for a long time, and it was only yesterday when Israel striked first that that the rockets started flying into Israel. And, I mean, what do you want the Palestinians to do? Just sit by idly? You have to realise that, and sadly, but Israel used Gaza as a training ground. That's what the Israelis are using it as. They're using Gaza as a training ground when they think that they have something major upcoming, like they're testing the waters now for attack in Iran. They use Gaza to test their rockets, use Gaza to test their infantries, their ground troops. They try, and this is what they're doing.
Well, Mr. Graham, let me just jump in here, because you talk about that things had been quiet for a while, and then all of a sudden they attack. What type of effect does this have? We know that the majority of residents in Gaza are actually children. What type of effect is this having on them, besides the physical problems that they're suffering, and of course either being wounded and sometimes killed, but psychologically, when at any time an entity such as Israel can go into the Gaza Strip anytime they want and basically send missiles or bombs or attack them in any way?
It's so stressful. I mean, for children, it's so stressful. You have the constant hum of drones over your head. You can see F-16s in the air. They're normally trying to break the sound barrier to create sonic booms. And then you have the missiles that they're firing. Now, even last night we were in bed. The house was shaking from a lot of the explosions that were around us. Can you imagine children and women? This is crazy what's happening. But these children are living through it day after day after day. And a lot of these children will have to get up for school again in the morning and try and continue on and go to school. It's impossible to, we'd say, go to school and try and get a good education if you haven't got a good night's sleep the night before. The children are the ones that's really suffering here, and there's no mention of this. If it happened in any other country in the world, you would see that there would be complete condemnation of it. But you haven't heard one government come out yet and condemn, one Western government come out yet and condemn what Israel are doing.
Well, what about that, Mr. Zidane? Apartheid already existed in Palestine, and now many say that genocide is taking place there, as Gaza being the largest open-air prison with people, most of them being children, lacking basic nutrition and shelter. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a shame for the whole international community, and especially the Arab countries, that they continue to let Israel blockade the strip, let 1.5 million Palestinians spend weeks without heating, fuel, food, the basic needs for children in Gaza are not fulfilled, and the international community is acting blind to all this. I believe the Israelis are trying to get those Palestinians to some sort of a desperation level, because Gaza Strip, ironically, is the only Palestinian land that was liberated by resistance. And in 2008, they still succeeded in not kneeling to the Israeli government and accepting loss. So the Palestinians in Gaza know very well that they have only one way, which is not favored now by the most of the Arab countries and the leaders. But Israel, by today's assassination, for example, the excuse was silly. They say that they assassinated Zuhair al-Qaisi because he was planning an attack on Israel. And right after the assassination, 92 rockets fell on Israeli settlements. So it's not an excuse, it's just a provocation, a provocative act for the Palestinians to hit back with rockets, and then they can assassinate the leaders and empty the Palestinian resistance from its essence, exactly like they did when they assassinated Ahmed Yassin, Al-Rantisi, Yasser Arafat. They are emptying the leadership from anyone who can take action on the streets, and they prefer to play this cat and mouse game.
Right. Well, Mark Glynn, you mentioned that there are probably some changes, perhaps changes on the horizon. And recently in the U.S., we've seen Occupy AIPAC activists disrupt the pro-Israeli lobby's meeting. And we're now approaching the 9th anniversary of American activist Rachel Corrie, who was killed by the Israeli regime. How important now is people power in all of this? Since the governments, especially the Western governments, are not reacting at all to what the Israelis are doing, do you think that now we're going to see more and more of the people of various countries putting pressure now on their governments to respond differently towards Israel?
Yes, I think that for the large part, I mean, we have to remember that Israel was founded upon the sympathy of the world because of the narrative that the world had been fed, considering how the Jews of Europe had been treated during World War II. That therefore, you know, they deserved a place of their own. Well, that sympathy has now extended itself way beyond its shelf life, and it's people around the world are finding it increasingly difficult to continue looking back in history 60 years to the suffering that is said to have taken place on the part of Europe's Jews when you have people today who are suffering the same thing and worse. And so The people of the world, I don't put much hope in my own people here in the United States. I think that we are, for the most part, are going to remain in this state of this magic trance that Israel has over us. Around the world, you are going to see people who are going to say, this has to stop, and you will see good people of conscience coming together and exerting pressure on their governments. You will see people running for office. You will see people using the power of their ability to purchase things and organizing boycotts. So I think, yes, you will see an increasing amount of action in this regard, because there's just only so much that normal, healthy human beings can take watching innocent people go through these kinds of things before they're going to speak up and they're going to do something. So I do have hope in that regard that we will see people, as long as they can stay focused. The problem is that Israel is a master magician. She's able to bend reality in such a way as to change people's thoughts and feelings about things. And, you know, we cannot underestimate Israel's willingness to, for example, you know, blow up a few pizzerias in Tel Aviv and to blame them on Palestinian elements in order to change the growing opposition that many people around the world are feeling towards her. So this is something that we have to keep in mind. But in general, I am hopeful that we'll see a growing number of people coming out against this thing in a substantive way.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate all of my guests being with us. From Gaza, Irish human rights activist Mr. Derek Graham. From London, Palestinian activist and journalist Mr. Bashar Zidane. And from Idaho, from the Crescent and Cross Solidarity Movement, Mr. Mark Glynn. And thank you, viewers, for being with us. Join us here, same time, same place tomorrow for another one of tomorrow's top headline stories. Well, I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew here in Tehran. Thank you so much for being with us, and goodbye.